We're talking about corporate white-collar crime. Now, it can be difficult to deal with corporate affairs with all the structure and hierarchy that comes with a big organisation. Sometimes sneaky dealings take place, and unfortunately for most companies, they can find themselves the victim of fraud. Now, it's not fair on everyone involved, but it's not as simple as tattling on your colleague either. So what can we do? This morning, we're joined by Professor Rahat Munir, who is the Head of Department of Accounting and Corporate Governance at Macquarie Business School. Good morning, Professor Munir. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, look, fraud can take a lot of forms, and it can be either financially or non-financially or straight up corruption, right? What's the most common type of fraud we see here in Australia?
I think the three types of frauds I've seen quite recently, and they're growing. Number one is misleading information provided to customers. That's one. At the same time, employees as well. Number two are management, employee-related within organizations where either people deal with vendors or with the invoicings and so on. That is second type of common fraud. And this is done by people, those who have access to financial information or access to financials as well and financial authority. And third one is more of a spams and cyber-related crimes we have seen. They have increased quite recently. So while they are not part of white collar, but they are sort of interrelated to the types of frauds which we see in Australia growing over
right.
a period.
Right. Yeah, I guess they fall into that institutional type fraud.
Absolutely.
And so what factors can lead to fraud happening in these companies?
I think there are three or four factors, major or key factors. One is the poor internal control systems within organizations. So Australia is very much open economy with multinationals working here, and at the same time, people coming from with a different background, so organizations often they don't do due diligence of their employees when they hire. That is one at a lower level. Number two, strong internal control systems where they have a check and balance systems on the people, those who are at a high level, having some financial authority is a second factor. And the third factor which we have seen is a gender religion also, like I say, gender come religion, like we have noticed that in our research, male tend to have more white-collar crimes than women, while in U.S. it's slightly different. And at the same time, religion is also, you know, an important factor in terms of the number of frauds which are happening. So in short, I would say internal controls at a corporate level, is one factor, and number two is having a framework for the people when they are hired and they work within companies and implement systems and procedures in a company, they are also weak. And they are the two main reasons why it happens mostly, not only in Australia, but globally as well.
Internationally. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that there's not, from what I understand, so if there's... you know, in certain industries, if fraud is performed by a certain individual, they're not automatically blacklisted and stopped from being hired in other companies, which is doing us such a disservice to the industry. But I guess many people who commit fraud can also be in quite powerful positions, right? And there can be those small thefts that are then hard to detect as well.
Yep.
How do companies improve their internal controls, but also then discourage such behavior?
I think two things. Like my research is all about organization behaviors and so how organizations can lead towards with their systems and processes like management control systems and so on. Minimize wrongdoings in companies. So wrongdoings include white-collar crimes and financial frauds and so on. So one thing is having a good management control system and having it properly implemented that management control system is important. So the role of a board of directors and senior management is very critical in implementing management control systems to minimize those frauds. So what I want to say is that the employees within the companies, they should know what happens if a fraud occurs, or if employee undertake a wrongdoings, then what will be the consequences of those. So basically educating employees and building that culture is critical to minimize white collar crimes or any crime or any wrongdoing in a company.
In a company, yeah. I guess, is that also potentially this rise of fraud, why we're seeing the rise of this profession of integrity professionals?
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, you have an integrity officer for the NRL, but you also then have an integrity officer for an accounting business.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is all about educating, educating your employees and building that culture is critical. So often what happens is if a wrongdoing happens, people see it, observe it, and they don't report. That sort of culture we need to work on, so that people, when they see a wrongdoing or a crime happening in a company, whether it is small or large, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, then that has to be reported to the like integrity officers or integrity coordinators or educators, sometimes the champions within companies. So they are the ones who really educate and build that culture within a company. And again, I would say it's a top-down driven, means the role of board of directors and the senior management executives, and then it trickles down to the middle and lower management.
Yeah. And so I guess the sort of industry-wide phrase that would be used for that coming forward is whistleblowing, isn't it? And it's funny, I think when I think of whistleblowing portrayed in the media, I feel there's quite a negative connotation to it, which I think we need to try and flip that, don't we? We need to, it's a positive thing, or it's a good thing that someone has taken a stand.
Yeah.
Is it possible that those in powerful positions that do the hiring and the general kind of management of business, they could be actually leading the fraud? And I guess that kind of comes to your top-down ethos that you were talking before. And so if governments aren't, or if the workplaces aren't facing this corruption, then... Yeah. What authority can we rely on to kind of govern these companies?
I think the two things here. One is the role of regulatory bodies, ISEC or APRA or other institutions, if they are banks or non-banking institutions. I think having a strong regulations and enforcing that in those institutions, so they frame those regulations. Now, the issue is who are going to frame those regulations and implement and educate, within companies. We have sometimes wonderful rules, regulations, and so on, and they are not properly implemented. So the second is in line is the board of directors. I think their role, this is what I have been advocating all the time, is critical, and they should be accountable for implementation of such rules, not only framing, but implementations and monitoring of those rules in companies. So all frauds, if you look at the history of frauds internationally, you'll see that most of the frauds happen either directly or indirectly with the help from a senior management or somebody who had some authority or someone have access to funds and so on. So the frauds at a lower level are very small, and they're few. Actually, most of the frauds happens, whether it's Enron or WorldCom or whatever examples I can give from US or from Canada or from UK to Australia, they are mostly from senior level employees.
Yeah. Professor Munir, corporate governance could maybe sometimes be seen as a bit of a dry topic. However, you almost sound a bit like Inspector Morse for the business world. Do you enjoy your work?
Absolutely. That's what we do as a Department of Accounting and Corporate Governance, to educate people in governance and how to govern companies effectively.
Yeah, that is.
And accounting has a very important role to play in that.
Yeah, it really does, because the numbers don't lie, do they?
Yep, it is.
Yeah. Look, thank you so much for your time this morning, Professor Munir. It has been really wonderful speaking with you.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.